Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings, along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
God, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So if you ever read the scriptures from cover to cover, then you'll notice that the first time the Bible mentions violence is in the book of Genesis. It's a bit of a complicated story between two brothers that ends with murder. Cain murders his brother Abel. And the question that comes from heaven to Cain is, where is your brother? And Cain responds, am I my brother's keeper? And that response echoes loudly through the recesses of time. The echo of Cain's words travel whenever we question our relationship to one another. Because he doesn't completely disown his brother in that statement. What he questions is the consequences of being a brother. What does it mean to be in relationship? And if we are related to each other, what is my responsibility to you? And what's your responsibility to me? What is the truth about love? During the past few weeks, we've been discussing what it means to be in rehab, and that if we were doing things that are destructive to our own lives, we must come in touch with our mortality, that oftentimes we need to live in the wilderness of the world that we created, that intervention from others becomes necessary when we can't see the consequences of our own actions, that if we follow through the program that God gives us, we can finally live out the promise of what it means to be in recovery. But the truth about what it means to live in the hole of self-destructive behavior is that it's not all about us. If we aren't committed to staying in love with God and allowing God's love to teach us how to love ourselves, then you will love your neighbor just as poorly as you love yourself. The opposite of love is separation. And when we separate ourselves from God or others, we sin. When we relate to others while we perceive that we are separate from them, we do all kinds of harm. We do things that hurt each other. We leave things undone that we know would strengthen our relationship. And the temptation sometimes to do harm against each other can be greater than the motivation to stay in love. And then we are caught in this cycle of sin. And the message of the gospel is that while we were busy harming each other and ourselves, while we were busy sinning, God wasn't content to watch what was happening from heaven. God didn't sit back and wish that things would get better. God didn't say, those humans really need to get their act together. God did not disassociate God's self from us because of all the harm we were doing. What God did was all that God could do. God gave us a conscience, what is right and wrong. God spoke through the prophets and the spiritual leaders of how to walk in love. And when that wasn't enough, God said, let me come down here myself. God put on flesh and walked in humanity, with humanity, and showed us how to love each other. Didn't pass by a need without providing for it. He healed the sick, found a way to feed the hungry multitudes, and every time that Jesus had a choice between gaining favor with the religious elite or siding with the marginalized poor, Jesus always, always, always would advocate for justice. But we couldn't accept it. We couldn't agree about it. And the violence that we reserved for our worst enemies, we inflicted upon this innocent man. Humanity crucified Jesus for simply trying to intervene and to stop us from destroying ourselves. The theologian James Cone marvels at the fact that Christians don't see a correlation between the cross and the lynching tree. But it goes far, far beyond that. There is a correlation between the cross and those who were shot at the Pulse nightclub. All those beautiful children we lost in the past several years while in school. Every child who has ever been bullied, every son or daughter who has been rejected by their family, or the black man who was shot 8 times, and mostly in the back. Jesus endures some of the worst torture and treatment that we have to offer because he knew that we needed an intervention. He knew that we needed to get out of the hole. But there is still a dilemma that we must deal with. If Jesus is God, why would he make himself be vulnerable to the dangers of this life? We speak a lot about privilege these days, but imagine what kind of privilege that God has. Why would God suffer like a criminal? Why would God come down in this hole with us? The only thing that would explain the passion of Christ is the love, a boundless love of God. There's a story about two brothers who are in an argument, and the argument got very heated and eventually escalated to the point that they were throwing blows. Their mother came home to this violent scene and tried yelling at her sons to get them to stop fighting each other. But they were so busy fighting each other that none of their mother's words meant anything to them. So their mother used her body to come in between the two brothers and takes a blow that was intended for the other brother. And for all the hatred that the two brothers have for each other, they never intended to harm their mother. In a similar way, while we were busy sinning against each other, fighting each other, killing each other, Christ died with us and for us. He died with us to show us that God is constantly in solidarity with those who are suffering. He died for us in hopes that we would see the absurdity of sin, how it would kill an innocent man, in hopes that we would repent of it and turn in the other direction. What matter of love is this that would move God to love us? What kind of God would die with us and for us on the cross? Is this how much God loves us? Let us pray. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw us near, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
O God, have you forsaken me? Forsaken me? forsaken me. Oh God, have you forsaken me? Forsaken me.